You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, and now it's time for the Art Journal Show. My name is Cora Zon, and in the studio, my two very special guests are Dr. Indigo Perry and Andrew Darling, who is a musician. Good morning.
Good morning, Cora.
Now, you have an event coming up in Warburton on Saturday called Stream of Consciousness. Indigo, tell us about it.
Okay. On Saturday, we're going to start with a creative improvisation workshop. And that's on from 4:30 till 5:30 in Warburton at the Arts Centre. And then there'll be a little break, and then we're going to have the premiere screening of an amazing and beautiful short film that we've made, Stream of Consciousness, filmed by Ryan Tews. And we will have some artist talks after that. And the film is screening at 7:30.
Yeah. So this is a free event, and it sounds fascinating. I've booked myself some free tickets too. So tell us a bit about it. What's it about? What's the stream of consciousness? It was something that you originated, isn't it, Indigo?
Yeah, well, it kind of developed out of earlier work, the collaboration between Andrew and I, and we really wanted to create something that was focused on the river, on the Birrarung, that we live and work close to. And we also wanted to work with Brooke Wandon on that project, so we started a series of conversations to see what would come of that. So we've improvised at various places along the river in music and writing and fibre arts, all filmed. And we started off around Warburton and East Warburton and went on a little journey together, ending up on top of Mount Baubor, where we had a view of the whole valley and the river, and we played up there. And so the film traces that journey in a very, very creative way. I think the film is almost like a moving painting. It's really something special to see.
So this film is about documenting, in a way, your creative practices. You both improvise in your creative practice, which is writing for you, Indigo, and playing the trumpet. Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sort of, but it's more actually the coming together of the different elements has created something totally new that's different from our previous way of doing things, or our different sort of united practice between Indigo and I. And that was a discussion that we had with Ryan, the filmmaker, whether we wanted it to be a little bit documentary-like, or whether we wanted the actual film to be a work of art in itself, which is, like, was very clear that that's the direction we all wanted it to go in. And what he's done is just, like, Ryan is an amazing, just hyper creative artist. He's a wonderful drummer. He plays piano, and he also writes songs. He used to play with a fantastic band called the Stray Hens. He's a photographer, he does visual art and has exhibitions, probably does heaps of other stuff I don't even know about, and then he's a really wonderful filmmaker.
Sounds like a Renaissance man.
he's like a cross between a Renaissance man and a like an Aussie sort of bushy.
So you're saying it's a little bit of a departure from the way the way you two normally work together. How has it been extended? Or tell us how you normally work together.
Okay, we started just the work between the two of us. I suppose the difference is that work was really highly focused on the collaboration between the two of us, and really dropping into a deep space together where our creative practices could meet. And this one, we've expanded that to have a conversation with the river and the natural surroundings, and to bring Brooke into that work, and having Ryan there as the filmmaker as well. So it's kind of a broader focus in that sense, I suppose, and having this very clear idea that we were there to experiment with ways to learn to speak and listen through our creative practices and to see what that would reveal to us. In our earlier work, that's usually consisted of us going together, going somewhere together. The first time that we played together was at Cement Creek in East Warburton, and we went there barely knowing each other at all, only knowing that we liked to improvise in our creative practices and maybe there was something that we could create together. And we went there and I was writing in a journal that day and Andrew had his trumpet and we started to play and we just discovered that we had this quite amazing creative fusion and a creative space that we could deeply drop into. As that work developed, we developed it over 2 years before our first performance of just playing together, gradually building up trust, because that was a big part of it, to be able to open up so much creatively in the moment. And then when we started to perform, my practice shifted slightly so that instead of just writing by hand, which is my usual writing practice and how I write books and so on, I wrote onto a laptop and used a projector so that everything that I wrote letter by letter was appearing as I wrote it, and that way an audience could see what I was writing, but also Andrew could engage with it more as well. In the film, I've gone back to in the last couple of years in our practice, I've used always projection, but it apart from the power issue, but that wasn't the main issue. It was just a feeling when we went into those natural spaces that it just didn't feel right to use the technology. So I went back to handwriting for the film.
So how do people know what you've written?
Yes, our very creative filmmaker has found ways to address that.
There'll be a nice surprise. Yes. How's that writing being incorporated?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool. Looking forward to it. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Art Journal Show, and my very special guests today are Dr. Indigo Perry and Andrew Darling. And you've got a wonderful experience happening on Saturday in Warburton called Streams of Consciousness that people can go and attend. It's free. Just need to book with the Warburton Arts Centre. It's about improvisation, isn't it? Tell us a little bit more about how you interpret improvisation and your style of it.
Okay, well, I started to work with improvisation in my writing not long after my first book, Midnight Water, was published. And even though it was a beautiful experience to have that book published, it was published by a multinational publisher and there was a lot of media publicity, and truthfully I'm quite an introverted person and I found that experience a bit overwhelming. And I also found, after having been a writer pretty much forever, you know, I've written stories and poems since I was a small child, and I had this dream of getting a book published, but the reality was very different to how I imagined it would be. And part of what I struggled with was the idea that the words that I'd written were kind of felt like they were set in concrete in the book. And I don't really think like that. My experiences change in my mind all the time, and the stories I tell myself in my mind change all the time. And around that time, I saw a dancer perform and I was really impressed to find that he was an improvising dancer, and I liked this idea of just him just walking into a space, doing this amazing performance, walking out, and that was it. It was of the moment and it was ephemeral. So, and I started to work then with that dancer and we developed a couple of performances, and I liked that. You know, usually with writing, because it's kind of there on the page, you think, oh, okay, it's there forever. In that early work with him, I actually deleted the work that I wrote at the end of each performance because I wanted it to be like his practice where it just disappeared to the air afterwards. I do save my writing now when I improvise, but when I'm in that improvising space, it's really quite different than when I'm working on something that I intend to have published. I try to, and this is really difficult, and it's very much a practice and something that I just come to again and again to see what happens each time. I try to let go of all the ideas I have about it being good or meaning something. And I use a practice that in writing is referred to as defamiliarization, where if something is about to come out quite sort of almost by rote, when I'm writing, I try to discard that in the moment and just let something else fall onto the page. And I try to let go of the idea that it has to make sense. And I will try to tune into the space where we are and respond to any kind of stimulus that strikes me in the moment. Because it's a collaborative work, when I'm working with Andrew, I'm also really deeply focused on what he's doing. And I don't mean that in a simple way. I don't mean that I'm listening to every note. In fact, sometimes after we've performed or practiced, Andrew will comment to me something like, oh, did you hear that part? Or sometimes, did you hear that wrong note? And I don't, because I experience it on a kind of deeper level than that. I try to put myself into a quite still meditative state where I'm just deeply feeling the feeling of what's going on in the moment, and I try to respond to that in writing.
I like the way it would be when you're talking about something that would normally you might start to write almost out of habit, or you might have a bag of tricks or writing tricks, maybe perhaps that you're trying to discard, so you're trying to open yourself up to something fresh, something new, something that extends you.
That's right. And it's also different because not only am like different to my other writing practices, because not only am I writing, but I'm kind of performing writing, because what I create is visible there in the moment, and I try to play with that a bit and try to push boundaries with it, like for instance having stillnesses and silences, like sort of having the confidence to sit there even in a performance context with an audience where I just don't write for a while, because I like the idea of there being that bit of stillness.
And that anticipation.
Yeah.
Building a bit of anticipation. And I suppose it's a little way of like living out loud by doing it that way. You know, it's something that's normally a quiet personal experience. It's being exhibited in some way. By this performance, so that's kind of interesting. And how about you, Andrew? What are you bringing into this improvised space, and what are you experiencing, and what are you responding to?
Of questions like that, you know, being a musician and particularly a trumpet player, where quite a bit of what trumpet player would do in the kind of music area that I play in, which is jazz and contemporary music and things like funk bands and stuff, that kind of improvising is very much within the context of music. And you know, I guess the impetus comes from a few different things. You know, if it's like a sort of music and people are dancing, you know, you're trying to create energy, you know, you might be trying to create like a volcanic peak, or you know, just really building and building energy. Or if it's, you know, say it's like a jazz ballad or something, you're trying to sort of convey something with a bit more emotional kind of depth, you know, maybe a little bit more the sadder end of the feeling spectrum. But it's all very much within the context of traditional music and the way that we sort of hear it and understand it and conceive of it. In this project and in our shared work, which is called Illuminous, we we're very, very much trying to get to a point where what we express in the work is a lot. We live in a world, and this, to me, this is one of the deepest problems that we have in, our sort of shared human behaviour, is that when we have, we walk around the world and we've got this facade that kind of has to be relatively, everything's okay and you can't express what's really going on because, you make people feel uncomfortable, or, you've got to be at work so you can't really do anything but the work. That creates, like, everyone's a little bit twisted up because of that. And it's, there's not that many opportunities to really express what's going on much deeper below, and that's when, that's why dear friends are so important, or, family. You can finally sometimes share that stuff and then you don't go crazy or have a breakdown or whatever.
Because people can behave quite robotically through life, can't they?
Without
those spaces.
And it's, to me, it's so weird because we're all feeling that stuff, no matter if we're like the most sort of, successful businessman or, homeless person or whatever. Everyone's got stuff going on beneath the surface. So what I think is a really core kind of pillar of the work that we do together is creating a space where we're expressing that stuff and we're coming from that place in our different practices, but, in this sort of synergetic, sort of united way. And therefore creating a space in which people can kind of let that guard down and feel into themselves. And for me, and I think for you too, you being Indigo, I can't see me pointing to you. I think the idea is that can be healing, and we're trying to create a space where, people can feel that. And if you can feel that stuff openly, unguardedly, within, a shared space with a group of people, that can be profoundly healing because you're united in the sharing of that pain or sadness or loneliness or whatever it is that you have. So as far as playing the trumpet goes, to just get up there and like bust out some funk, it's not going to do that. So I have to approach the playing of the trumpet in a really different way to any other thing that I ever do with the trumpet. So I use what are called extended techniques quite a lot, which is, I guess, non-traditional sounds on the trumpet that you would never hear in normal music. I will try and make the trumpet sometimes sound like it's just screaming or whispering, or I'll do things where I'm just actually blowing air and making breath sounds through the trumpet, not even playing notes. And then, like we were saying before the interview, trying to tap in and connect with nature and interpret the sounds of nature and sort of try and become part of that tapestry of sound that's all around us in nature or, in the city. So it's a different kind of sound. So that's the approach, and that's the it's a very different thing to normal trumpet playing and normal music.
And how would you feel about demonstrating a little bit of that in the studio?
Yeah, I'll do that.
You've brought your trumpet along?
I feel all right about that.
Good.
And I just had this thought, if it's okay, if we can dedicate this to your friend.
Oh, please. Thank you. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. In the studio I have Dr. Indigo Perry and Andrew Darling. And we're talking about Stream of Consciousness, which is an event happening on Saturday, this Saturday. It's a free event. There's a workshop, and in the evening there's a short film. But the workshop, tell us a bit about the workshop. Anyone's welcome to come along and experience this method of connecting with the environment and using your creative practice to create, to connect. And you could write, you could draw, you could dance. Tell us more.
What's happening at this workshop, Indigo? Sounds really interesting.
The workshop will be facilitated by me and by Andrew and by Brooke Quanden, who is the other artist collaborating with us, and she's a cyber artist and also a cultural advisor and educator. And we'll start the workshop by talking a little about, a bit like we have today, about our practices of improvisation and just sharing a bit of what we do when we go into that space, and we'll also demonstrate it, and then we'll invite the participants to improvise with us. So anyone who's thinking to come along might want to bring along materials that they feel to bring, like a notebook and pen or a sketchbook, but it will
an instrument
and in the space you'll just be encouraged to improvise as you feel to with us. So it may just be sitting there and writing in your notebook, or getting up to move if that's what someone wants to do, or to play an instrument, and then we'll talk and share about what we've done.
So first of all, you'll demonstrate this process, and then you'll engage the group, whoever comes along, to do the same thing. And will you continue with your music making and writing at the same time?
In the space, yeah.
So people will join in, basically.
That's right.
So can someone just lie down on the floor and just experience it, or do you want them to engage?
They can do that if that's what they feel to. Really, ideally, we'd be trying to give people an idea of alternative ways that they might like to engage with nature, for example. So the whole project as this theme of conversations with the Birrarung, with the river. And so we will also introduce that theme, and that can be something that people might feel to come back to as a kind of anchor in their practice.
So people, we're going to be doing it within the space, the Warburton Arts Centre space, Arts downstairs?
Hopefully in the Mechanics Hall, it could also be in the gallery space there.
Okay. Yeah. So would you suggest people go down to the river first and... You know, maybe remind themselves.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Of, you know, what, you know, just kind of refresh their memory of the river.
Yeah.
I mean, people often might live in a space like that and can take it for granted.
That's right.
So if you go intentionally going down there, I'm going to go to this workshop, I'll spend a bit of time beforehand preparing, you know, what are you seeing, what are you hearing, what are you feeling, smelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think anyone out there listening, you should listen to Cora. She's got really... That's a very good idea. Do that.
Because what time does the workshop start?
4:30.
4:30 in the afternoon. So people could spend half an hour beforehand before they come in or whatever. And now tell us why this is good for people. I mean, before you were saying, I mean, there's obviously some reasoning behind it as well. Why is it good to do this sort of thing?
Mm. Well, a lot of us, well, all of us who live in the valley, we live so close to the river. But I think, as you said, it can be easy to take that for granted. And perhaps as you go about your daily business, to not even really be aware that this river is running through the space. But through these creative practices, where experimenting with an idea of having alternative ways to engage with those spaces that we live in, rather than always talking verbally or just walking past the river and so on, to actually find a way through creative practices to see if there's a kind of different level of awareness that you can come to through that, and really importantly, a different level of connection. And that might be with others and also with the space itself and nature itself.
Yesterday I saw a child, you know, just with their family, and just nothing particularly was happening, but they were dancing, you know, on their toes, down, you know, moving around. So there was not even any music, but this child was obviously just exploring. But I'm thinking, we lose that. We lose that as adults, don't we? We'll just stand there or we'll wait patiently. But
just
in this,
think and think about stuff.
Think about stuff, but
not move our bodies anymore.
I know. And I was thinking, this child is just there in this moment, just mucking around with her body. You know, just, you know, hopping up on her toes and bobbing down. Yeah. And, you know, is this the kind of thing? Is it trying to bring back that childlike state in a way, or not?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, to answer your question about why is this good, I the bit that I kind of went to in my mind was, why is improvisation good, and why is it, you know, why is it a good idea to come to this event and have that perhaps a little bit, you know, worked on or facilitated. I mean, I feel like there's a couple of things. And that was one that I thought of, is that all of our... Like, I've got twins who are 10 and then my little tiny girl who's 5. You know, that constantly improvising games and things that they do, and they do role-playing games and, you know, like... You're the mum and I'm the nurse, and, you know, like, it's a constant form of improvisation, which we tend to lose as we get older. And instead of playing, we like watch Netflix. And I think also all creativity is essentially born from a tendency towards improvisation. Now, if you're writing a book, there's obviously a lot of editing and different things go on to get it to the final form, but all of when you're actually writing it is a form of improvisation. You know, it's just, I think it's the same with all artistic practices. But I think, you know, creative artists are pretty low down the pecking order of the world in terms of what people consider to be like a viable career, or, you know, the amount of money you can potentially make to sustain yourself doing that kind of career. Like, it's, you know, it's not easy to be an artist and kind of try and survive and flourish and have kids and whatever, put them through Steiner school, all that stuff. I feel like today more than ever, to meet the challenges of the world, and it's like quite pertinent on this 37 degree day where the wind's like blowing a gale outside and more fires are starting, it's like more and more we need a creative way of dealing with being human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, improvisation as a practice, developing that as a sort of, you know, some kind of thing within your life, or even a fundamental thing that you do, it's just a really powerful way to keep kind of opening up to the world and being really present in the moment and creating from what's real, as opposed to, you know, in music a lot of people create from, this is what's going to make me successful, or this is what's going to be cool, or whatever. To have a deep expression of yourself and have it through something very much in the moment, I feel like it's a powerful thing, and it can just ultimately feed into everything we need as humans to try and make things potentially possibly okay.
In the early stages of our collaboration about 5 or 6 years ago, we would come together regularly to practice together, and at that time we were both extremely overwhelmed with demands of parenting and doing our jobs and trying to be creative artists and just cope generally in the world. And I remember that being a really important part of the development of the work, because we'd made a commitment to each other to be completely authentic and open to each other when we did this work. So that meant that often when we would come together, we would both be stressed and exhausted and grumpy, and we'd start to play and somehow that would be transmuted through the creative practice of really feeling into the grittiness of that and letting everything be. I remember one day in the Redwoods Forest, Andrew was so exhausted that he actually fell asleep in the middle of playing. And it
really?
Felt, yes, I know, you and your terrible memory, you've forgotten.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, and it was cool because it struck me as being a perfect moment of demonstration of what the work was about, that we were really trying to get to this raw, real state of what are we doing here, what's happening in our worlds, and then trying to transmute that creatively and come through. Like, it's not a matter of, I'm being careful with what I say here, because I'm not trying to suggest that we somehow make that all beautiful and perfect and all right. It's more just responding to it creatively and coming to some kind of understanding of what we're doing, but not necessarily a literal understanding, so that then you kind of get up and you go on with the day. You go on the next day and you learn your coping mechanisms, you become stronger as a person.
I really like the part about just being with whatever it is, like even if you're feeling grumpy, tired, whatever you're bringing to the space, and really probably just going into it and feeling it more than, like you said, trying to make it all beautiful. Because I know your work is quite, your work is beautiful and, you know, magical and wondrous. But you're talking about actually getting into the grit too, because that's also actually a part of the beauty of life, isn't it?
Yeah. And to bring it back to this current project, that was a big thing for me in the creating of the film, is I kept feeling drawn, because the river itself is so beautiful and powerful, I kept feeling drawn to write something beautiful and powerful and like that. But I was really aware of the other layers that were there. I was really aware of all the weeds and blackberries that were around us, and the rubbish that was on the ground, and And then, you know, that we were, where we were filming was close to logging coops, and so I was having, and I think it was interesting creatively, but I was having a real battle with trying to stay authentic to the work and not just get drawn into this kind of idealistic concept of the river.
Well, I think contrast, the contrast of the two things, the beauty of the river and the not so beautiful aspects of what's around it.
The desecration,
okay. That contrast is sometimes also required. It's like you were saying that when you're writing, sometimes you'll be writing and then you'll have a pause. So the contrast of nothing or a space or a pause, you know, kind of also adds to the whole process and experience and work.
Yeah, it can sort of reflect that and allow space for people to have kind of their own input almost, you know, their own connection to it. And yeah, perhaps it's interesting because I just think before, you know, we started this project with a very vague idea of what it might be about. You know, it was just a hunch, you know, an instinct. And as it's kind of evolved over years, it's led to us, I think, having really quite concrete ideas about what it is and its intention and its purpose. And in trying to create something where people can feel their own feelings, a kind of spaciousness of also having, you know, no trumpet for a while or having no writing for a while, I think that creates space for people to really feel themselves. Whereas when you go to a concert, you know, it's just like you're just getting smashed by someone else's energy for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, which is also really cool. You know, and it can bring out stuff in you. But
you're wanting participation. So you need
energetic
space.
Connection and participation in that way. Yeah.
And I think that contrast too, talking about like the difference between the desecration and the beauty, you know, with that contrast and that awareness and then almost choices that you can, you know, it starts to stir up. What choices are you going to make? I feel when you look at two different things or feel different things, you recognize that you have choice.
Mm. It creates a tension and opens up a dynamic space.
Mm. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. It's been such a pleasure to have you, Indigo and Andrew, in the studio today talking about Stream of Consciousness, the event that's happening on Saturday. Where can people get tickets from?
You go onto the website for the Upper Yarra Arts Centre, or just drop into the Arts Centre if you're a local. In Warburton, the tickets are free, but it would be good if you could book.
And it's happening on Saturday afternoon at 4:30 for the workshop. Walk down to the river first. Remind yourself about how much you love it. Yeah. And then in the evening there's the film. But thank you once again for coming on